If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. This is going to kind of be a standalone message this morning. And if you're new or you're visiting Grace, this is not something that we often do. Most of the time, we do character studies or book studies. And that is a tremendous help to me because it helps me to focus in on one thing and kind of immerse myself in that one thing. And it helps a lot as I prepare week in and week out. But we're in between series right now. We finished up Jonah last week, and so this is kind of a standalone message. In 2 weeks, October the 2nd, we're going to begin a new series looking at the book of Joshua. So be in prayer for me about that because, oh man, a lot of these things, you know, I feel the Lord lay something on my heart and I get real excited about it. And I'm like, all right, this is where, and then the first weekend, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a doozy. But you know, as the Lord, he's our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. But please do be in prayer for me as we look towards that study. And I will trust the Lord to show us some important things there in the book of Joshua. And most importantly, show us the Lord. All right, Jeremiah chapter 9. I want this week to kind of piggyback on what we concluded with last week in Jonah chapter 4. And the conclusion that we came to last week, right there at the very end of that book, was that it wasn't about Jonah. All right? Jonah made it all about himself. At the end of the day, that's Jonah thought he had things figured out. He thought he had this grasp on how things ought to be and just really made things about himself. And God shows him through these object lessons that, Jonah, it's not about you. It's not about what brings you joy in this life. It's not about what brings you pleasure in this life. It's not about what ministers to you. It's about me. And what a reminder that was. We all need that. Because it's so easy for us to get off track. It's so easy for us to take little things and specifically things that affect us directly and turn them into big things. And, you know, the more that we do that, the more we focus in on self and we stop really following hard after the Lord and we stop desiring the things that He desires or following the call that He would place on our life. And so I think we have a little more direction here in Jeremiah chapter 9 that will hopefully, again, kind of connect back to what we saw last week as we finished up in Jonah. So let's look at this text, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. You know, there's another, I wish I had come across this before last week. We would have incorporated that into Jonah. That God delights in these things. He delights in his people knowing him. And he delights in his people understanding him. Knowing about his character. And there's three things we're told about his character. That he exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness on earth. The Grace Group guides, you guys in your groups this week are going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like and the effect of that in our own lives. But we want to contrast these things this morning. The things that so often we find ourselves boasting in versus the things that God says through Jeremiah, these are the things that you should boast in. If you're going to boast in anything, you know, we don't have a rebuke there for boasting. It's a redirection. Don't boast in these things. Boast in this. The underlying issue, we see there wisdom, strength, and riches. The Lord says through Jeremiah, don't boast in those things. And there's an underlying issue there, and the underlying issue there is a matter of pride. And we've talked about this a lot. A lot of people struggle with pride. I said a couple months ago, it's kind of like the carbon monoxide of sin. You know, a lot of sins, we can identify them and point them out and nail them down. But pride, you know, a lot of times it's really reared its ugly head before we come to the point where you say, I need to check myself. And so that's an underlying issue there as well. But bringing that back, last week we saw Jonah, his heart was far from delighting in the things that God delighted in. But today I want us to reflect a little bit on our own lives. And hopefully some of you have done that since last Sunday. I know in the grace groups this week, I heard some discussion Wednesday night about this and delighting in the things that God delights in. And so let me ask you now, I don't want you to yell out anything. What do you boast in? What do you glory in? What do you pride yourself in? What do you delight in? Think about that for a second. You know, the Lord knows our hearts better than we know them. and I think there's a specific reason that these three things, wisdom and strength and riches, are specifically mentioned. And I think those are probably three things that are most prominent in the hearts of men and women. But one of the easy ways to answer that question is to think about the things in your life that you get excited about or that you get angry about. Those are things that are of tremendous importance to you, and they can often be so shallow. I remember a time when Mandy and I lived in Idaho. It didn't take me long to move to Idaho and to become a Boise State football fan. You know, you guys seen that ugly blue field that they play on? It didn't take long. I mean, I was around people that they were just diehard fans. And I, you know, I didn't have any tie to Boise State. I lived in Idaho. That was my tie to Boise State. But I became a huge fan of this team. And I remember it was probably the third year that we lived there. I mean, they had their best team that they'd ever had. And they were good. And they were undefeated going into the last game of the season before the bowl games and all that. And, you know, this was before the college football playoffs. So if you wanted to get into one of the big games, you had to go undefeated, especially if you're in, you know, a podunk conference like the whatever conference they were in. They've switched 14 times in the last 3 years. But I remember that last game of the season. I mean, there was a lot riding on this, and I was hunkered down. I knew I had to watch it at home because if things go bad, you know, I get kind of intense. And I didn't want to ruin my testimony exactly. Their last game was against Nevada, and the quarterback for Nevada that year, Colin Kaepernick, some of you know that name. Yeah, boo, yeah, that's what I said. I hated him before you guys did. but this game, I mean, it came down. And Boise State, I mean, they roared out to a lead and, you know, I mean, crushed them like they had been crushing people all year. And then I guess they got a little complacent with where they were. And, you know, Nevada came back and tied things up. And there at the end of the game, it's back and forth and back and forth. And Boise State's kicker missed a pivotal field goal there towards the end of the game. And, you know, with a field goal kicker, once their confidence gets a little, it's gone after that. He went on and missed two more field goals that would have won the game, and they lost. And folks, you would have thought that my entire family went down in a plane. I was devastated. And I can laugh about it now, but Mandy, she's like, what is wrong with you? And all I could do was just grunt and throw things and... And finally, those of you that know Mandy, I mean, she's pretty chill, but I mean, sometimes she's got to put me in my place, and I praise the Lord for that. She finally, I was moping and groping, and it's 11 o'clock at night, Saturday night, and she's like, shut up. That's what she told me, and I wasn't even saying anything. I was just, and she basically said, it's a football game. Big deal. You know, there's millions of other people that have real problems. Why don't you pull it together and act like an adult? That's basically what she told me. And, you know, that made me even more mad because I'm not a 5-year-old. I don't want to be talked to like that, but that's exactly what I needed. I did. I stomped my foot and held my breath till I almost passed out, and she just finally went to bed without me. And that's one silly example of something that we boast in, we pride ourselves in. I had no tie to the Boise State football team other than that I lived in Idaho. And I can't tell you the amount of time I spent wasted arguing with people on the East Coast about how Boise State deserves this shot and that shot. And they'd say, you don't play anybody, and I'd just fire back, and it's wasted time. Here I am boasting and priding myself in something it's of no importance whatsoever. You know, the next year is another year. Guess what? We do it all again. Big whoop. But it happens. We do it. Millions of football fans every year, they do that. Basketball fans. You know, I heard some of you know who Francis Chan is. He was talking about, he went to the Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the Warriors and the Cavaliers. And, you know, Golden State had gone out to a tremendous three games to nothing, maybe. Came back and lost the series. And he said, walking out of that arena, because it was in California, he said, you would have thought, you know, the world's going to be ending in 30 minutes. And just somber and people crying. And it's like, it's a game. Come on. You know, we saw it in the Olympics not too long ago. You talk about people who train their entire lives for one moment. And some of them, boy, they tasted the victory. And some of them, it was just agony of defeat. And I saw four interviews in particular that really blew me away. And one of them, you probably didn't hear this because unless you were following these particular people, you don't see these interviews on TV. The first one I saw was like the men's synchronized diving, I think. They got silver or bronze. And NBC was interviewing them, and they said, you know, what was it like for you? How did you prepare for this? What were your thoughts going into this competition? And these guys were just like, you know, we just wanted to come and do our best, and we wanted to medal, and that was our goal. But, you know, if we didn't medal, that's okay. Our identity is not in diving. Our identity is in Christ. And diving is just what we do. And if we don't medal, you know, that's okay. This doesn't define us. We're defined in Christ. And I saw it in two of the freestyle wrestlers, same deal. One of them was a returning gold medalist, didn't place. I mean, this guy's the face of USA Wrestling and was highly favored to win. And I mean, it was heartbreaking to watch him not place. But he said a similar thing in his interview. He said, I didn't leave today with my medal, but, you know, I've got a family that loves me. I've got a God that's crazy about me. And, you know, this doesn't define me. Praise the Lord. Some people have their heads on straight. I mean, these are people who have trained their entire lives for these moments. And when they don't get what they came for, big deal. This doesn't define me. This doesn't define who I am. And then you've got these other people who, you know, oh man. If you watch the Olympics, you probably saw a couple of them. They don't get what they want and everything falls apart because that's who they are. That's what they hope in. That's what they hope for. Folks, our hope is not in this world. The things that we hope for are not in this world. These things are going to fail us. They're not things that that we hang our hat on at the end of the day. God says through Jeremiah, if you're going to pride yourself in something, if you're going to boast in something, don't boast in these things that you've done or that you think you've accomplished. Boast in me, that you understand me, that you know me. Folks, that's a wonderful reminder. It's been a wonderful reminder for me this week. You know, and that's encouragement as we go forward with this election season too. You know, the context that this is written in, there's calamity on the way. And this word is serving as an encouragement. It's serving as an encouragement. Calamity's coming, but guess what? You know, the Lord your God is, this is his character. Loving kindness, justice, righteousness, those are things that define him. I want to look at a couple of examples this morning and show you just how seriously God takes this issue of pride. The first example is in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We meet a king named Uzziah. Uzziah was a king in Judah. He started reigning when he was 16 years old. Now, when I was 16 years old, I couldn't look past Friday night. I don't know what you were like, but I can tell you right now, I don't think I would have cared to have been thrust into that position at 16 years old. But that was Uzziah. He became king at 16 years old. Reigned for 52 years. He had the second longest reign of any king over Judah. And here's the important things to know about this king. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. The next 10 verses go on and they talk about the accomplishments of Uzziah. If you look back on the kings of Judah, there's only a handful of good ones. Uzziah was a really good one, all right? At least for the most part. The next 10 verses, they list his accomplishments. And in verse 7, because of all of the things that he's done, his military accomplishments, his expanding of the borders, his being a leader who honored God and sought God. It says, verse 7, hence his fame spread afar. And here's why. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. He was marvelously, who marvelously helped King Uzziah? God. All right, so at the end of the day, what's Uzziah going to do? He's going to stand back and he's going to say, God, I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to boast in the fact that you are marvelously helping me, that you have made me strong. You have given me wisdom and how to lead. You have made me just what I am, right? That's what we would think. He was marvelously helped. And so here's a wonderful testimony of a young man with a very big task. And as much as he'll rely on God, God takes tremendous care of him. But notice the tense of what we saw there in verse 7. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. And that indicates a point in which the help stopped. And it appears that it stopped when he was stronger, when he was at the peak of his reign and the peak of his power. Verse 16 says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. All right, so, you know, when you think the response would be, thank you, God, for doing this and accomplishing this and marvelously helping me. Over the course of time, pride begins to set in. Until one day, he thinks a lot more of himself than he ought to. He became strong. His heart was so proud, he acted corruptly. This is what he did. Verse 16. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Folks, pride was going to be Uzziah's undoing. He thought so highly of himself. He was so confident in himself and in his power and in his authority that he totally disregarded the model ordained by God himself. And he stepped into a position that was reserved specifically for the priests. And he sought to burn incense on the altar. I don't think it's bad to have a leader who's wise or who's strong or who is well off. Those are oftentimes signs of people who pretty well have things together. But folks, those things pale in comparison to knowing God and to understanding God and to delighting in his statutes. When Uzziah was doing those things, he prospered. Judah prospered. When he got too big for his britches and he tried to take a place that wasn't his to take, God straightened him out. The text says that over 80 prophets came and rebuked him for what he was doing. He busts into the temple. This is what he's going to do. He's got his mind set on doing this. And the text describes them as valiant men, the priests. They come and they try and stop him. Perhaps that was a warning shot. It made him more angry. That's his response. I think he gets a warning from these priests, you better not go there. And instead of heeding that response, remember, he's so proud and so strong in his heart, he's going to do what he wants to do. He just blows right through that warning. And God struck him with leprosy right then and there. He gets angry, he's going to do what he wants to do, and God says, okay, here you go. Struck him with leprosy, and that was his undoing. That was his undoing. He started out so well, but pride crept in. Pride was his undoing. That's a shame, isn't it? Somebody starts out so well. They trust in the Lord. They walk with the Lord. The Lord makes them strong. The Lord uses them. And then pride begins to creep in. This happens every day, folks. It happens every day. And it's a shame. I've said before, one of the things my dad always said to me before I left the house, especially when I was in high school, don't forget who you are, where you came from. You know, and what did that do? That made me reflect on who I was, where I came from. All right, man, we ought to ask ourselves that often in life, because it reminds us that, you know, I didn't make myself who I am. I'm marvelously helped by God Almighty. What do I have to take pride in? What do I have to boast about other than to boast of the Lord? Hezekiah was another king, if you're familiar with him, another king of Judah that just about met the same fate as Uzziah, but when that warning shot came in, he kind of was like, okay, all right, Lord, I hear you. And he got another 15 years to go after kind of heeding that warning. Charles Spurgeon, how many of you are familiar with Charles Spurgeon? Man, if you ever go through and read some of his diary entries. Here's a guy, he was dubbed the Prince of Preachers. I mean, started out at a young age, drew crowds of thousands upon thousands. And you go through his diary entries, you know what his biggest struggle was? Pride. Pride. And that was the cry of his heart. Lord, don't let me become proud. Keep this in check. Because the tendency is to and you see it today, especially in the big churches. These men who have said, oh, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. I've got 10,000 people here come to hear me speak. Spurgeon said, Lord God, please protect me from that. But so many people are willing to welcome it and to bask in it and to pride in it. Look what I've done. It's a sad day when that pride catches up to them and the Lord has to deal with it. It happens, folks. One of my favorite verses says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's another verse that just serves as a wonderful reminder to me. And we could rewrite that verse 100 different ways today. You know, that sounds kind of outdated. Most of you probably don't trust in chariots or horses. But, you know, we could rewrite that and we could say some trust in money, some trust in fame, some trust in presidents, some in Congress, some in investments, some in, you know, a coffee can full of money. I don't know what it is. Fame, fortune, relationships. Point of that verse is those things are ridiculous. Those things are going to fail you. You know, I have known people who, and I understand hobbies and investing in your hobby, and that's something you do for fun. But people who have more invested in a vehicle than they do like in their house, here in a day or two, they might not have any gas to drive that vehicle. Oh, and what are you going to do then? What are you going to trust in then? You're going to boast in your car that's broke down in your front yard because you don't have any gas to go anywhere? I mean, we pride ourselves in the silliest things. Why? Those things are going to fail us. Money will fail you. Relationships will fail you. Fame will fail you. You know, how many people have we, famous people in the last couple years have taken their own lives? Because, I mean, they're famous. Everybody wants to be famous, right? They want to have money. They want to have this. Those things will fail you, folks. They're not worth boasting in. They're not worth priding yourself in. If we're going to boast, we want to boast in the name of the Lord our God. We want to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Many of you have seen, this is always in our bulletins. It's on the little cards in the back of the pew in front of you. It's on the website. It's on the painting that you see as you come in, a verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let us press on to know the Lord. Folks, that verse, you see it everywhere for a reason. And it's because that verse is at the heart of Grace Community Church. It has been since the very beginning. It will continue to be until Grace Community Church is no more, which hopefully will be a long time from now. That's at the heart of this church. Let us press on to know the Lord. Folks, we live in a time where the desire of people's heart is to press on to a bigger congregation and a bigger building and more stuff. And don't get me wrong, those things are, they're not the problem. Just like, you know, people love to misquote, money is the root of all evil. Money's a tool, and it can be used for tremendous good. The love of money, on the other hand, is a bad thing. It will take you down a road that you don't want to be on. The same is true for these other things. The love of bigger buildings and bigger congregations and more stuff, that is a road that we don't want to go down here at Grace Community Church. We're not pressing on to do that. We're pressing on to know the Lord. And as the Lord brings more people, and the Lord brings about a need for a bigger building, you know what? We'll do that. But not until then. That's not our goal. That's not our main objective. Our main objective is to press on to know the Lord. And as he does these things and he accomplishes these things, then we're gonna boast about him and about how he's accomplishing these things. And we're willing vessels. We're just here for the ride. Pressing on to know him. Beyond that being the heart of this fellowship, we desire to see that at the heart of those who are in this fellowship. And my hope is that as you all come week in and week out, and you, I don't want to say you immerse yourself into the, as you come and you participate, we hope that you will see that this is the pattern and then this is the direction of Grace Community Church. Some of you are pretty new. And so to tie this together and to wrap this up, I want to share a couple of things with you that the Lord has taught me since being here. And you can take this as me boasting in the Lord. Every church that I've been in that I can remember, every week, every meeting as far as churches that I've worked in, there's always been this huge emphasis on money that's coming in. The church I was at in Idaho, every staff meeting, every week, it was like drawing straws to see who was going to be able to spend their budgeted money because we were constantly on a spending freeze and we, you know, it was a pretty fair-sized church and ministry does take money, but it was a constant worry. And so when I came here 3.5 years ago, you know, our financial sheet's always there on the back table. I'd always grab that because I needed to know what's going on. I need to know what's coming in and what's going out and all of this. And from March until probably the first or second month of the following year, January or February, I mean, every month, we were going further and further into the red. And I want to say when I got here, we were maybe $45,000 in the bank. And by January or February of the following year, we were down to like 18.7 or something like that. And I remember thinking, man, what is... And so at our elders meeting, I brought that sheet with me and I said, guys, what do we need to do? Do we need to, you know, do a spending freeze? Do we need to, you know, cut some of our support to missionaries? Do we need to do this or that? And then they just kind of giggled at me. And I was freaking out about this. And they said, and I'll never forget this. They said, you know, the Lord's never failed us. They said, the Lord's never failed to provide everything that we need. And so, you know, don't worry about it. I'm like, how can you not worry about it? We've gone down. We're tanking. We're like a ship that's, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to have to close our doors. And I said, don't worry about it. The Lord's always provided everything that we need. And I said, okay, I'll try. You know what? In the next month, we were in the black a little bit. The next month, we were in the black a little bit more. And other than the months that we had a really big expense, it's gone up and up and up and up and up. And the Lord taught me through some guys that, you know what? He's not going to fail us. His word says, I'm not going to fail you. You have a need, ask me for it. I'll take care of it. You know, if I'm going to boast in something this morning, I'm going to boast about the Lord's provision. When I got here, we hardly had any kids in this church. I mean, there were my kid, and sometimes we'd have one or two more. And we had some people here who said, we think that the Lord's going to do something with our children. I looked around. I said, what children? We got two kids sometimes. And they said, well, we're going to have some children. Lord's going to do stuff. We're going to have children. And so they started preparing for children. I mean, every week, preparing lessons. And a lot of weeks, no children were here. Have you walked that hall lately? When it gets quiet in here, do you hear the kids over there being rowdy? There's children here. And it's growing. Every year we've done Bible school, we have more kids every summer. If I'm going to boast about something, boast about the Lord's faithfulness. And I trust that a year from now, if we step back and we look at this text again, and we recall the things that have taken place over the last year, I trust that there will be a whole lot more things that we can step back and we can look at and we can say, boy, look what the Lord has done here at Grace Community Church. Folks, it's not going to be you. It's not going to be me. It's definitely not going to be. It's going to be the Lord. We're going to press on. We're going to trust him. We're going to seek to know him more every single day. And we're going to go forward without the shadow of a doubt, knowing that he is going to marvelously help us. And at the end of the day, we're going to give him the glory and the praise and the honor, because it's all him, it's not us. And folks, I don't just desire to see that in Grace Community Church. I desire to see that in each and every one of your hearts. Press on to know him. That's where you start. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word from your prophet Jeremiah. Lord, we thank you for the examples set before us in Scripture of people who maybe didn't always get it right. It serves as a wonderful reminder, Lord, that you're serious about the things that you say. You're serious about your commands. You're serious about relying on you to meet our needs. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning whose heart is hardened by pride, Lord, would you break through that? Would you humble us? Would you bring us to a place where we learn to trust wholeheartedly in you, to meet our needs, to provide whatever it is that, and Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never trusted you for salvation, Lord, would you do a work in their heart this morning? Would you open their eyes to see their need for a Savior and show them how you've already made a way? You've already made that provision through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to tell you again this morning that we love you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.